We're glad that you've tuned in to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner. This program is brought to you by His Will Ministry. Are you hungry for more of Jesus? Are you hungry for God's Word? We want you to know that your investment in His Will Ministry helps you to spread God's Word around the world. Our website is HisWillMinistry.org, or you can email questions and comments about this ministry or God's Word. Please let us hear your testimonies or how God is using this program to bless you. Email to info@HisWillMinistry.org. Thank you. And here's Pastor Warner.
Welcome to Where the Rubber Meets the Road. Today, we are going into Do It for Eternity. That happens to be one of my wife's favorite sayings. I tell everybody that Mary is a gift from God. I honestly believe that I would not be where I am today if it hadn't been for her and her love and her understanding. But do it for eternity. How often do we think about that? How often do we let that sink into our minds that we are here for an eternal purpose? When the Lord has called you to do His work, you are here for an eternal purpose. You're no longer here for your own purpose. You're not here for your own work. You're not here to do what you think you should do. You're here to do what He wants you to do. You're here for an eternal purpose. Let's look at the first verse today. It's Colossians chapter 3. I want to look at verse 1 and 2 to start with. Paul tells us here, "If you then, being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above and not on things of earth." Did you get that? There's two parts to that. The first part, if you then been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Paul is telling us here in the Greek word seek means just exactly that. Go after, go looking for, seek, hunt down, try to find. And Paul is telling us that if you and I have been called by the Lord, because the Bible tells us no one comes unto the Lord except he is called by the Spirit. So if you and I have been called as Christians, it doesn't matter whether you think you're a pastor or whether you're just a plain run-of-the-mill Christian that loves Jesus with all his heart. You still seek out those things above. Well, the only way you can do that is either in prayer and let the Father show you, or get into His living Word. His living Word will show you, tell you everything you need for life. But that's the first part. The second part says, set your affection, your love, your hope. Now the word here, set and affection, is one Greek word. It says set your affection on things above, not on things of earth. Now the Greek word there means to exercise your mind. You get the difference here. In the first verse, he's saying, if you have been chosen by Christ, if you have associated with Him and call yourself by His name, you need to be seeking out those things from above. The second one says, exercise your mind on those things above, not on things of earth. How often do we find ourselves so wrapped up in our lives? And we tend to think our lives are so important. And to us, they are. But in the grand scheme of things, in the grand scheme of eternity, how important are our lives if they're not set on above? Everything that we have in this world is going to cease. I don't care if you have gold in storage. I don't care if you have the best car you can drive. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how big your house is. I don't care what you have. It will rot away eventually. Yes, there's antiques out there that are worth thousands of dollars. One of my wife and I's favorite programs is we love to watch a program on PBS called Antiques Roadshow, and there's a British version of it that you can see. But we are always amazed when we see what antiques are worth to human beings. You take a chest or drawer, and you go down to your local furniture store and pick that chest or drawer up, you're going to pay a couple of $100s. If you want a real nice one, you might pay $2,000 or $3,000. We saw one the other day that was almost 300 years old, worth $50,000. Now, the $50,000 chest or drawer did the same thing as the $200 chest or drawer. You opened it up, you put your clothes in, you closed it, it hid your clothes and it held them. No difference. But in man's eyes, because something was 300 years old, it was worth almost 100 times. More than 100 times. But in God's eyes, it's a piece of wood. And eventually, it will rot away. It will go away. But see, man doesn't look at eternity. We look at things down here. We have our eyes on earth when we should have them upstairs. And that's what Paul says. Belong to Christ and are part of Christ. Seek those things that are above. Go after them. Hunt for them. Look for them. Find them, and God will reveal them to you. What did Jesus say? Ask, and you shall find. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and you shall find. No, he didn't. He gave us three different ways, didn't he? He told us we could find, we could open, didn't he? See, Jesus was trying to tell us that it's up to you and I. He said, ask, and we will find the answer. Seek, and it will be given unto you. Knock, and the door will be opened. Now, he wasn't talking about down here. He was talking in heaven. He was telling us to look to the sky, to do it for eternity. As you got up this morning and as you went through your day, whether you're a housewife, whether you're a construction worker, whether you sit in an office in front of a computer, what did you do today for eternity? Yes, you may have done a beautiful job. You may have been a good worker. You may have been one of the best workers out there today. And your boss may be proud of you, and you may be working towards that big raise, which is a good thing. But what did you do for eternity? See, that's where we as Christians have to get our eyes focused. We have to look on the fact of what are we doing for eternity? Where are we going? What do we want? That is the point that the Lord is trying to get to our minds. There is a pressing in this world of evil. More and more and more darkness around us. Just look at your newspapers. Just look at television. The signs and wonders are in the sky. Three tornadoes in a row in Hawaii, of all places. But are you focusing on what you're doing for eternity each day? If we don't get out there, who will? It's up to you and I individually. It's up to you and I as the Lord's children, the children of God. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. Because a servant doesn't know what the master wants. A friend knows what his friend wants. And Jesus wants us to focus on eternity. Let's look what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I love that. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm not perfect. And quite frankly, my life as a young person was not perfect. But what is Paul saying? He says, I do this one thing. I forget all those things which are behind me, and I reach forward. I press towards the mark for the prize of that high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That high calling. He tells us we're a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. See, you and I have a calling. We are different We are to be different. If you step into your office, if you get up in the morning and go into the living room to babysit, if you walk down the street to go to the post office and the world doesn't know you're different, you're not pressing towards that high calling and you're not looking towards eternity. This is how important eternity is. That's where we're headed as Christians. We're told there's a crown laid up for us. This world is a blink of an eye to God. We're told in the Bible a day is 1,000 years. We need to keep our eyes forward, keep our eyes focused towards eternity. We need to work for eternity. How do we do that? What did Jesus say? If you do it for the least of these, the least of these. You see someone that needs a drink of water, give it to them in Jesus' name. They need a coat, give them one in Jesus' name. They need a meal, give them one in Jesus' name. Do you have someone you know that's sick? Go visit them in Jesus' name. Is there someone in jail that you know, or even someone you don't know? Just go visit them and tell them you're there in Jesus' name. That's what it's about. That's what it's about, is us loving our mankind in Jesus' name. We have a little lady. She's been sick for well over a year, and she's on her way out. She probably won't even last through the week. She's a great prayer warrior, a Holy Ghost-filled woman, beautiful lady. And in the year that she's been sick, the church that she belonged to visited her probably less than a dozen times in a year. The women of the church didn't come to help her. The men of the church didn't come by and help the husband who's on oxygen. And you know what their excuse was? We're just too busy. We're just too busy to do that. We've got our own lives. Now, how do you think, in the grand scheme of thinking for eternity, that would pan out? Because we're told we will be responsible for every idle word. So those people will stand one day before the Lord, and that will be played back. Oh, I am too busy. They will have to answer for that. Now, if they had been thinking in the grand scheme of eternity, there would have been no problem, would there? Because their mind would have been set in eternity and the rewards in heaven, and they would have said, I'll go visit this person that's sick, like Jesus said. Remember, Jesus was very plain, very hard on this teaching. Very hard. Because it tells us he separated the sheep from the goats. And he asked that question. And the sheep say, when did we do this unto you? And he says, whenever you did it to the least of them, you did it to me. Come on in. And he says the same to the goats. And the goats said, whenever we did this to you. And they said, you didn't. It's an important thing to think in an eternal state of mind. We have to keep ourselves in that eternal state of mind. We have to go beyond where we live now and realize as Christians where we're going to live for the future. Let's jump over to Luke chapter 12. This is Jesus' own words about the future and how to think eternally. Chapter 12, verse 16, and he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room to bestow my fruits? And he said, this I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? One of the greatest bumper stickers I've ever seen, which I absolutely love, I've seen many times on the back of motorhomes driven by elderly couples. It says, we're spending our child's inheritance. What did God say to this man? He says, tonight I'm going to require your soul. And then he says, whose will these things be? Are you working hard right now for a retirement? Are you working hard to put money away to give to your kids and your kids' kids or your grandkids? Or are you working hard for eternity? We have a mission field in the Philippines that we work with. The Church of the Good Shepherd. A month ago, they were hit with mudslides. And the pastor and her nine other pastors, a lot of them lost everything they had. They're still all healthy and alive. God protected them. But these people have little or nothing. Most of them are barefooted. They have no support from outside churches because they don't belong to a congregational group or a religious group or a church organization. They're a bunch of ragtag people that learned how to preach the word, and they're out there saving human beings. Many of them don't even have shoes. They just walk. The head pastor, we hadn't heard from her for about 3 weeks. And we put her on all our prayer lines praying. Finally heard from her. She has nothing but a bicycle to travel with, and if she can get a ride from someone, she does. But the internet service she used to use is no longer available. It was damaged in the mudslides. So she has to travel 21 kilometers just to email out and tell the staff at His Will Ministry she was alive. See, that's thinking in an eternal way. The rich man said, I have so much, just so much, that I can't hold it all. So I better turn around and tear my barns down and build bigger barns so I can fill them up. And then God said to him, you fool, tonight I require your soul. Then who shall these things be which you have provided for? Where are we in the thought of eternity? Where are we going? Are we laying up treasures for ourselves today? Are we laying up treasures now for us? Or are we laying treasures up in heaven? As you get up every day, are your mind thoughts on Jesus and on eternity? Or are they on paying the bills? Are they on what you'll do today? We as Christians need to get out of this world and into eternity. Jesus came to touch us, to sanctify us, to save us. But he also said, think ahead, not here. He told us that he goes to the Father that we may do greater things than he did in his name. Well, unless we're thinking of eternity, thinking of the road ahead, thinking of the way ahead, we'll never do those things for eternity, will we? We'll never get around to it because we'll be too busy, wrapped up in what we're doing now. And that's where the problem lies. James said, in chapter 5, verse 14, he said, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. For they ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and we shall do this or that. Do you, in your own mind, have a plan for your life? Have you said, I'm going to accomplish this by that date? Have you said, like it's said in verse 13, tomorrow or today we will go into such and such city and continue there for a year and buy and sell and get gain? Do you have your own plans or do you have eternal plans? James, the brother of Jesus, said, your life and mine is as a vapor. It is here and it's gone. The Living Translation says, it's as a fog that covers us in the morning, and when the sun rises, it disappears. See, we don't know what tomorrow holds. When we get out of bed in the morning, we should say, "Hallelujah, praise you, Lord Jesus, you've given me one more day to plan for eternity. One more day to work out that eternal love you have for me. One more day to store up treasures." But is that where our mindset is? Or when we get out of bed, do we pour that cup of coffee and sit down and start planning our day for the world? Planning what we need to get done for that day. Planning on where we'll go that day. Planning on where and what we're going to do. A little over 7 years ago, my wife and I were in our normal spot in the mountains of Colorado having Bible studies. And we like to write devotions to the Lord. And as we were leaving after a weekend of just study and prayer and worship, we were driving towards the house through the mountains. And the Lord said to the two of us at the exact same time, "You will work for me traveling around and live out of a travel trailer." And the two of us looked at each other, and I looked at her and said, "Did you get that?" She said, "What? Did you get what?" And we went back and forth for a few times because neither one of us wanted to open our mouth and say it. And finally, at the same time, we recited the exact same words that God had given us. And since that time, we have traveled around and we have ministered. And we do live out of a travel trailer. We don't have a large ministry office. We don't have lots of property or land. We don't have mega possessions. Because Jesus has shown us that whatever we do is for eternity. And I don't know about you, I can't speak for you listening out there. But I know about my household. We would much rather spend that money buying a pair of shoes for a pastor in the Philippines. We'd much rather spend that money with the hope that one more person in Africa would hear the gospel than we would to live in a nice house with lots of land and property that is not being used for anything. What are we doing for eternity? Are we thinking ahead? Remember what the rich man said, "I have so much, I have to build bigger barns." And God very simply said, "Tonight I require your soul." I hope and pray that God doesn't require your souls tonight. My prayer is always, "Lord, give us one more day to work for you." But God could require your soul tonight. And if he did and you woke up standing before him, would you have been working for eternity? The thing I love for my wife says, and I'll leave you with this. She always says, "What do you want to be doing when Jesus returns? What do you want to be doing when Jesus returns for you? What do you want to be doing when you're called home?" You could be called home tonight, just like that rich man was. James says it. Our life is as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. If he called you home tonight, what would you be doing? Would you be doing it for eternity? Make that your battle cry as you go into this next week. Do it for eternity. Do it for Jesus. I just keep you guys in our prayers. As we meet each night, we raise every one of you that listen, and we raise all our prayer warriors. God bless, and have an eternal life in Jesus' name.
Hi, I'm Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor for His Will Ministry. We hope that you were blessed by today's message. You can write us at Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 1-800-231-8291 and send me your prayer requests online at mary@hiswillministry.org. We'd like to take the time right now to invite all of you who do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to come to Him today. It'll be the most important decision you'll ever make in your entire life. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come unto the Father but through Jesus. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, and a very simple process. You must repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you of them. The next step is to ask Jesus to come into your heart and your life. You must then turn away from your life of sin to avoid going to hell, which is an eternal place of torment. You are now a new creation in Christ Jesus, born again. You should be baptized by immersion in water, and you must find Christian fellowship and begin Bible reading. We welcome you into the family of God. May God bless you with His mighty presence in your life today. And remember, your financial investment in this ministry sends the gospel of the good news around the world. Thank you, and God bless you.